Welcome, listeners, to this very spooky and scary episode of the Provokers Podcast. Before we begin, we invite you to grab a pair of headphones, turn off the lights, and listen close. Come with us as we delve into the known and the unknown. John will be your guide through this experience. Choose to follow him, and you might hear horrors beyond your wildest imagination. Continue on at your own risk. We cannot guarantee that your mind won't collapse into shards of darkness after the experience is over. You have been warned.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Provokers Podcast, where we talk about things you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
Hey guys, it's Noah, or NoahDog54.
And I'm Ethan, otherwise known as FlabsXE Gaming on YouTube.
And I am your amazingly handsome and humble host.
Humble, he says.
Yep. Humble. You disagree with that, Noah?
Maybe.
Okay, well, I'll just keep a note of that. And,
he's putting in his cauldron of negative points.
Alright. But, how are you guys doing today? It's been a bit since we got in here and talked. For not for them, but for us.
Yeah. Noah, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Alright, well, for me, it was quite exciting because I was at the beach. I was on vacation to my normal spot. If you guys listened to the Beach Day episode, or really anything where I kind of talk about it, you kind of know where that was. But it's one of my favorite vacation spots. I've been to a lot of different places, but that's always been a constant kind of place we go to because it's really nice. We had excellent weather while we were down there. It was funny because the place where I live now, we had frost warnings while I was down there. For us, it was like 85. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I'm not over there. We had a lot of fun. I'm not going to go over sort of everything, but it was just a lot of fun. A lot of relaxing for all you people that like to read books. I actually read 3 entire books while I was down there. So I'm now on book 10, I think, of Fazbear Fright, so I'm actually almost done with the Fazbear Fright series, which is nice. And, we had a lot of fun down there, and when we were driving back home, we drove into rain and frost and stuff, and I'm like, alright, is it too late to turn around? We joked about that all the time. Is it too late to turn around? We did not, we had to keep going, I will say, I did miss the podcast. I was telling this to John, I don't think this was in the pre, this was before the pre. But I was telling him that I woke up on a couple of Sundays and be like, oh, I can't wait to do the podcast today. And then I remembered, oh yeah, I'm in a different state. That's not going to work. So I did miss the podcast. It's for me, I like doing it every Sunday. So when we have to break the streak for holidays or for people going away and stuff, it's kind of hard for me to be able to be like, oh yeah, my Sunday's going to be boring today. So I can't do anything. But I did a lot of stuff while I was down there, and I'm going to let Noah talk about how he was for the past 3 weeks before I get into what I was doing, so.
Aaron? Well, that's really happened for me for these past few weeks. The only significant thing, really, is I turned 21, but that's about it.
Yeah, you are now the legal age to drink, even though you technically could have drunk before, but it's fine.
Yeah.
What else can you do when you're 21? There's a couple things. It's not just drinking. There's something else.
Can
you
do weed?
Great.
Turn.
There's a whole list I looked at before where it's like, oh, here's everything you can do when you turn 21. There's like 10 things on it, so there must be a lot of stuff.
Is it 21 that you can buy a firearm, or do you need to be, is it only 18? Because I feel like it should be 21.
Maybe it's 18. Maybe it is 21? I don't know. I don't recall that part. I just remember maybe it was... I think it was you can enter Canada with an extended license or something. I forgot what the whole list was. I don't know. Either way, you unlock the next part of the map essentially when you turn 21.
Right.
So that's how I look at it. But yeah. We didn't. I guess we didn't plan this right. I guess. Well, to be fair, me and John didn't have one either. We didn't do birthday things this time. Because last year, I know we did, me and John had a birthday-themed episode in general, because me and John's birthday are very close to each other, so we kind of just had it in that same week. But with Noah, his birthday's a little later, so for us to have 2 birthday episodes is a little redundant. So I think we had mentioned it, or someone mentioned it, maybe Noah did, that his birthday was coming up in this episode.
I think we did mention it. very briefly. They're just like, oh, yeah, it's the birthdays happen as they do.
Yeah.
But for me, the past few weeks has been pretty much, I don't know if we covered it before you left, but I got my driver's license.
Oh.
So I can drive. Like, and I've been driving myself to school, mostly. It's the only place I go. And there are so many people who don't seem to know how to drive that I'm like, how did you get your license? I had to drive twice. And you're just, like, swerving in front of me.
Yep.
But, and when it's raining, and, like, it's just, so just learn. Just learn how to drive. Just don't be stupid.
As someone who's learning to drive, you really take in the idiocy of people. Because when you're just in the back seat, you're enjoying yourself. You don't even know what's going on.
Right.
But when you're the one driving, you're like, who are these people and what are they doing? Like, because like you said, they're like, swerving. I saw someone, like, just today, I saw someone, like, they were in the fast lane, right? Which is it's a 3-lane highway. They were in the fast lane. They darted over in front of everybody to get to their exit because they're like, oh crap, my exit's over there. I guess I'll just cut in front of everybody. Right. No blinkers, no indication they were doing that. It's like, what are you doing?
Oh, the amount of drivers who don't use their blinkers are like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be driving and someone will just like swerve in front of me without even using their turn signal. I'm like, what the hell, man? You could have killed me.
Yep. It's crazy.
There was one time I saw like a bus just like speeding down the road like way faster than I was going, and I was going just a little bit above the speed limit, you know, like there's a bit of a grace period there. Yeah. I try to stick to like just at it. But then they were like booking it down the road. I'm like, what are you doing? You're a school bus, you don't need to be going that fast.
Yep. It's crazy, people are nuts. No, your method of transportation is your bike, right?
No, it's my legs.
Ah, you're one of those old folk that walk.
He just sprints.
He just sprints everywhere.
No, I'm just very, very broke.
Just don't be broke. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I don't have money to buy a car, but I'm still using someone else's car.
Right.
But I guess it depends on, like, for example, the area where I'm in, it's very congested in certain places, so it is, like, if we're going into one of those places, I'll just be like, no, I don't feel like driving that, and then someone else will drive, because it's their car, so I'll be like, no, you can drive.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that boat, too, where, like, I don't live in a huge city, but it's not, like, a small town. I mean, if it's tourist season, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So, like, it's
so.
It's not always fun.
Without revealing too much, how far are you from Fredericksburg?
Let's see, that's like, I think it's like an hour away. I know, Richmond, which is the capital, is like an hour away.
Okay, because when we go down to the beach, we stay in Fredericksburg in a hotel. So I was like, I was sleeping in that hotel then. I'd be like, oh, I wonder how close John is to here. And I looked in the sky, I saw a beam of light in the direction. I'm like, oh, he's over there somewhere.
Right. Yeah, you're just like, what's that beacon in the distance?
What's that bat signal I can see over there? So John, what you're saying with you driving is you're saying this is a PSA for everyone that's currently driving to get off the road immediately if they see a beacon of light coming towards them.
Yes, that is true. And I also just like quickly looked it up. It's 2 hours away from Fredericksburg.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I was just curious. Yeah.
But I think I was closer before I moved. I have been there.
Didn't you say it was only a 20-minute drive, though? So I guess theoretically you're close. No, to where you are now. Your old location.
No, it's 2 hours.
Oh, I thought you said 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not too far. That's not too far of a move.
And I just, like, walk over there.
Yeah, carrying a couch or walking over there with a couch.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But, you know, with all this small talk out of the way, do you have, it's the headlines first, normally.
Yeah. Well, and I couldn't help but notice that the second I left, the world went to shit. There's a YouTube civil war that's happening, or that happened while we were gone. There was two, not one, but two major hurricanes that slapped Florida and everybody else. And it's like, I left for 2 weeks, guys. You gotta calm down, alright? The world was shifted out of balance the second I left. Something's going on. Obviously, I know it's not connected, but I'm just joking. But yeah, unfortunately, especially with the hurricane, unfortunately, the YouTube Civil War thing was kind of lame. But with the hurricanes, it's a lot of the damage you can see now because people were didn't have Wi-Fi for a long period of time. So the entire time, at least with Helene. So with Helene, we were just now seeing like camera footage of a lot of the survey damage because they didn't have Wi-Fi yet, for like the entire 2 weeks that they were gone. Or that I was gone, so we couldn't see actual footage. But it's definitely devastating. There's houses that are just floating down the stream. Like, that's someone's house. People lived there. And it's really hard to kind of see that type of stuff because you have to think to yourself, oh, what would be like if my house was like that? You lose everything when that type of thing happens. And maybe they evacuated, and obviously there's hopefully no one in there. But you also have to think about the worst case scenario because there is confirmed cases of this where they didn't evacuate because they thought they were okay and their house floated away and they unfortunately passed away as well. So it's just it's a terrible scene altogether, and unfortunately it seems like the only people that are helping are the people like North Carolina is helping, a lot of other states are helping each other. So it's the government's not really stepping in that much, which is kind of important. I don't understand how that works because that should be the main goal of the government. But yeah, so it's people helping people. That's what I do like to see, which is nice. But yeah, they're trying to get back to, they're still helping people down there. Especially, it's not just North Carolina. A lot of places got slapped, but, North Carolina was where I was. I wasn't in that area. It was the west coast of, the west of North Carolina that got slammed. And yeah, it just, like I said, it just really sucks to see that kind of stuff. So thoughts and prayers go out to anyone that's currently in the midst of that. Also to the people that are helping in the midst of that, because that's also really important for the people that are there. The YouTube Civil War thing was, in case you were curious, it's Mr. Beast, Logan Paul, and KSI came out with Lunchly, which I don't know what's going on anymore. I really don't. It's like, they're trying to compete with Lunchables, which I never thought was something that needed to be competed with because it's Lunchables. No one really eats that anyway. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, why I like, sure, you have the prime Feastables and then whatever crap they're shoving in there. The reason it was such a big deal is because they were saying, oh yeah, this is 10 times better than Lunchables. It's not got lead in it or anything and stuff like that. And then people fact checked that statement and actually bought the boxes and looked at the official statements on them. And it turns out they're not really much healthier. The only thing that's a little bit healthier is the cheese, because it's actual cheese. Everything else is terrible, because Prime is actually getting sued for having lead in it. So when they said, oh yeah, ours doesn't contain lead, what are you talking about? You're currently getting sued for having lead in your drink. There's that, and then someone came out, his name is Dan TDM, you probably know who he is if you're an old-time YouTuber. And he came out saying that he can't stay silent about this type of stuff anymore, and that it's kind of sad that people are just making things for the sake of exploiting children and making money, which I 100% agree with. I don't think you should ever exploit children to make money, because that's just a scummy thing to do. And each person took it in a different way. Mr. Beast was kind of, he was kind of the most normal about it. He made a statement saying he was kind of just trying to, he was defending it, but he was kind of just saying like, yeah, I can understand how that happens, but our product is this and this and this, and give a bunch of stats and stuff. Logan Paul took it personally. He was like, I forgot what he did. He made a couple statements. KSI though was the most whiny about it. He made 17 different posts. 17, probably more currently. While I'm here, he made 17 different posts trying to attack and provoke Dan TDM. You want to know what Dan TDM did? He said nothing after that. He did not give him a reaction. He did not say anything after that. In fact, the next thing Dan posted after that was him having a fun time with his child, being a good father. Like, that's the perfect thing to post in the midst of that, being like, hey, I'm being a father, what are you doing over there? Now KSI, I used to have respect for, but after this I'm like, I don't know about that. But I will say what I was very impressed with is why I call it YouTube Civil War is because Jack defended Dan TDM, Stampy defended Dan TDM, Captain Sparkles did, Think Noodles, literally everyone besides KSI, Logan Paul, and Mr. Beast were defending Dan TDM. So it was a full on Iron Man versus Captain America YouTube Civil War. And people in the comments were defending Dan to Kingdom Come, because they, you don't just attack one of the most wholesome people on the platform. that were also a part of a lot of people's childhoods. Like, you can't do that. So, because right. The reason people got ticked off is because the thing that really provoked everything was, like I said, Logan Paul made a snarky comment. I forgot what his said. Mr. Beast took it the most calmly, and then KSI, what he chose to do, was attack Dan TDM's merch. It's like, he attacked it because it was like a figurine thing from, I forgot who makes those, but either way, it was a figurine, and KSI literally has the exact same figurine. It's like, what are you talking about? So, I don't know, it was just, I was watching it over the course of the week while I was down at the beach, and it was just like, this is just sad, man, because like, You're not helping your case at this point. Dan has literally forgotten that you exist at this point. He's having a fun time with his child. He's being a great dad. You're over here whining and complaining that you got attacked. You not attacked. You got called out for being scummy to children. So I don't know what you were really expecting, but I was glad to see that Jack, Stampy, all these people I guess I look up to him, yeah. All these people that I've watched for a long time and admired, that they were coming in and standing up against this type of thing. Jack's quote, I believe, was, you mess with Dan TDM, you mess with YouTube or something. It's like that.
Right.
And it was awesome to see that type of stuff. So, yeah. My personal thing about it is, and I've seen people review Lunchly and say it's not that much better than Lunchable. So, my thing is, yeah, they're definitely trying to market it towards kids, and that's really scummy. It's basically a Jake Paul version 2. Because if you forgot the Jake Paul stuff back in 2018 when he was trying to market his stuff to kids, basically the same type of thing, just with Lunchables. And yeah, like I said, I used to have respect. I never really had respect for Logan Paul. I'm sorry. He was kind of just scummy to begin with. Mr. Beast, I did have respect for, although he's still not said anything about the allegations he's had against him. Again, photo evidence. He's now being sued over it now, so now he's going to have to say something. KSI was like the one person I'm like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he's cool. And then this happened, and I'm like, dude, come on. You're 35, and you're whining on Twitter. Like, what are you doing? So,
right.
But yeah, I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I have seen that a bit. And I was going to say, like, I don't usually, like, use Twitter all that much or really engage with anything on there. But my favorite thing is the community notes. And, like, someone says something, and they're like, it's the community notes, like, yeah, this just isn't true.
Yeah, I think KSI has all got community noted, because he was like, I forgot what he was saying, I don't really care at this point, but he was saying a bunch of stuff against Dan TDM. Oh yeah, he said he was making fun of Dan TDM for a video he made back in like 2011 or something about him promoting a snack thing or whatever, and community was like, he'd never said he promoted this, he was just doing it for a video, and that's all it said. I'm like, yep, alright, cool.
Like, there's also a huge difference between a sponsored video where you're promoting candy and, like, completely owning a business solely to market towards kids.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's a huge difference, and, like, if they can't see that, then they're a little stupid.
Well, yeah, because Lunchables is it's a teen/kid-based thing. If you walk up to a 35-year-old and they're eating Lunchables, you should question your life choices. Because what are you doing? Because like, right. you could be ingesting better things for yourself. So. Okay. No, are you dying or something?
You attacked the mic there, yeah.
He's been killed. He no longer exists. He doesn't exist on the spectral plane anymore.
The title of the stream, Noah Freaking Dies.
Noah Freaking Dies. Yeah, well.
The episode I Become a Ghost.
Yep.
Well, this is the Halloween episode.
It is. But yeah, those are the headlines. It was mainly the hurricane stuff, think about the people that are over there, the people helping, and then the literal YouTube civil war that was going on.
Right.
Oh, by the way, I want to point this out real quick, though, that the YouTube civil war literally started a day after I left, and I was so upset by that, because it's like, seriously, I just did a podcast episode, and you're now all this drama started? Okay, I couldn't believe it.
Right. But moving on from that, do you have a creative showcase for us?
I do. Their name is, let me just double check this, It's Arty Time is the name, so RT spelled ARTY. And essentially what they do is they do like these kind of entertaining comedic skits about creating the best fast food combo. So what they do is they're able to pick their bun from a certain place, their patty from a certain place, all these different things to make the best, like, sort of sandwich, I guess. So they don't have to stick to conventional means. They don't have to get a Whopper from Burger King and then swap out certain stuff. They just literally say, no, you know, I want a bun from Chick-fil-A. I want a patty from Five Guys. I want this, like all that stuff. And then they rate, and then they try each other's, and they're like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. And they let the viewers decide, oh, what would you want? And it's kind of entertaining to me because I like to see what they build, because they use multiple different locations. I think they use four different locations to make their sandwich. So they have stuff from McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Five Guys, all that stuff, and they can pick whatever. And it's really interesting to see. So if you want to go check them out, it's RT Time, A-R-T-Y, again. Just go check them out over there.
That sounds interesting.
But, you know, eventually, you know, because that is what we're here to do.
It is. I never really explained to John how we're going to do this. What I was thinking is, because we've kind of done the spooky story thing before, what I was thinking is I do have a couple more, but what I was thinking is I'm currently looking up scariest stories, like scary stories from the, from people on Reddit and stuff, and I think I'm going to copy and paste them and submit them to you guys so that way you can read them. Whoever's the reader at that point can read them. Well, I think we start with our own stories and then we move on into that.
Okay, yeah. Which one of yous wants to go first?
Well, I've been talking for a while, so if no one wants to go first, you can.
Alright. Well, there actually was a thing a few weeks ago, actually. So it was like a couple weeks ago. I woke up at 2 or 1:30 in the morning, and I just woke up to this really loud bang, like someone fell, and it sounded like it came from the kitchen. So I went to go look in the kitchen, and there's just nothing.
All right, is that the story?
Pretty much.
All right, John, do you?
Are you sure someone didn't just die? What could have happened?
I didn't see anything, man, so pretty sure someone didn't die.
Covered up with murder, I understand.
Covered up with murder?
I don't know how, but sure.
But yeah, you're gonna say something, Ethan?
Well, I was gonna say, do you want to go next? Because you're the host.
I suppose I could. I don't know. I don't think I mentioned this in the previous scary experiences / phobias thing. But this was like the birth of my fear of spiders, right? So I think I did mention in the phobias episode that I was afraid of spiders. But this was like kind of the first experience I had with that. Is I was like laying in bed. I was probably I wasn't that old. And I was sleeping, I had my blanket over me, and I see this this spider just crawling on me on top of my blanket. And I freaked out, I threw the blanket over off of me, I ran outside to the living room where my family was. I just saw a spider in my room, and I want it in my bed. And they're like, okay, let's take a look. And they were looking around, and there was nothing. So either that spider just, escaped, and it was in my room, and I just didn't know. Or it was, trick of my eyes in the dark when I'm trying to sleep, you know?
That's interesting.
Yeah, I can see why that would be your birthplace of your fear of spiders.
I actually couldn't tell you where my fear of spiders comes from.
Yeah, I'm not really scared of spiders. If I see one, I'll be like, oh, hey. And then I take them outside because I don't want to deal with them. It's a problem, though, because apparently spiders are, they kill other harmful insects, centipedes and, some other, stuff that... Actually, house centipedes actually also help your house, but... They tell these terrifying things about how spiders eat these guys. They actually can attack rats and stuff. And it's but it's also a spider, and I don't really want to deal with it. So I just let it leave. This won't be my story, but there was this one time where I was just doing something. I can't remember if I was writing or something. I was at my desk writing, where I am now. And all of a sudden, I see movement out of the corner of my eye, and I look over, and there's just a ladybug sitting on my shoulder. I'm like, where the frick did you come from? Like, I sort of jumped because I wasn't expecting it. And it just stayed on my shoulder because they don't really fly unless they have to. It kind of just stayed there. And so I got a piece of paper and made it get on the paper, and I let it outside because it was going to die if it stayed in the house. And then 2 weeks later, I see another ladybug just chilling in my room, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And so I just, same thing, I just kind of let it out. I looked up, because I'm not really a superstitious person, but I looked up, and if ladybugs near you are a sign of anything, it wasn't anything bad. Right. It was just saying, oh yeah, it could be a sign of new change and new like relationships and stuff. I'm like, okay, cool. So, but I was definitely kind of similar where it wasn't even like it landed there. It was just like I happened to see it move over, and I'm like, when did you get there? I was terrified.
Yeah, ladybugs are probably the most chill of the insect, because they're just there. They don't really bother anyone. I think there's like a couple that have some issues, but like most of the time they're just a bug. You know, they don't bother people. They kind of stick to their own little thing.
Yeah. But do you want me to go ahead with mine? Because it's this actually happened while I was at the beach.
Yeah, that's good time as any.
Alright, I'm going to say that the title of this story will be The Knocking. Because, you know, that's what it is. I was going to say The Knocker, but I think that's a creepypasta, and I don't want to steal that. But so, The Knocking, right? So, the first week on vacation, pretty normal. The house is huge, by the way. These are big houses you stay in. They're, like, houses meant for, like, a party of, like, 25. It was just the three of us, which was nice, because we had all the space. So my grandparents, who I went with, were on the top level. There was like a king bed in the top level. I never needed a king bed, so like obviously they would take that one. And then I even could use a twin bed, but I took one of the queen rooms down on the second floor. And to get you situated where the house is actually sort of right next to a Food Line. It was behind a Food Line actually, or well, the house is in front of the Food Line was behind. Either way, it was right behind a plaza. And so when we would need to go do something, we'd actually kind of walk to places. It was very nice. And so we heard some like strange things at night, but it was always like, oh, that's them unloading the dumpster, or like, oh, that's them pushing carts together. Like we could hear this stuff. But there is the halfway into our vacation. I want to say this kind of started around week two that we were there. We were sitting, I can't remember if this happened at night or in the morning. I want to say this happened in the morning at first. I think it did actually. We were sitting eating breakfast. We were talking amongst each other, and all of a sudden we hear this bang. And I'm like, we all heard it, and we all look over to where the stairs were, and we're like, what was that? And we turned to greet each other again, and I'm like, okay, that sounded like something falling. And my grandma was like, yeah, it sounded like something like that. And so I think later that day I went to go investigate. I don't think I investigated it right after that, because I think we were still eating. But I think later that day I went down to the middle level, because that's where it sounded like it happened. I went down to the middle level and searched around for things that could have fallen, like TVs, or because it sounded like something hard had fallen. And I'm like, okay, so I check paintings on the wall, I check some little shelving units, nothing was falling. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And fast forward a couple more days, and we kind of forget about it at this point. We're sitting there eating dinner, and we hear bang again. And I'm like, what is that? And again, we all heard it. And so I'm turning towards the stairs again, and I'm like, okay, it's definitely coming from downstairs. It's not on the top floor, and I don't think we'd even hear it if it was on the main floor, so it must be on the second floor. And so again, later that night when I was going to my bedroom, I looked around again for anything that could have fallen, because it sounds like a banging, like it could be the sound of a door, but it mainly sounded like something falling. And so, again, I searched the rooms, because there's, like, five rooms on the second level. So I look at all the rooms, I look at the TVs, I look at any shelving units, I look at everything that could have fallen. Nothing. Everything was perfectly the way it had been when we got in there. And I even looked in my room and saw that nothing was happening. And I'm like, okay, that's definitely strange. It's twice now that we've heard this. And so I think this was two more days pass. And I'm sitting upstairs, I think my grandpa was taking a shower, and my grandma was doing something on her computer, and then I was reading my book, I think, was when this happened, and all of a sudden we hear, bang, and I'm like, all right, I'm sick of this. So I go downstairs, and it was right after the sound had happened. And I'm like, all right, I go downstairs. I'm just kind of standing in the middle of the room, in the middle of the hallway. And I'm like, do it again, I dare you. I didn't actually say this, but in my mind I was saying, do it again, I dare you. And it didn't do it. So I was like, I wasn't going to wait there for like 20 minutes and hope it happened again. So I'm like, okay, it's definitely coming from this floor. We pinpointed that it's on this second floor. And I want to lay the scene for you a little bit more. So next to my room was like this really old style room. It had not a lot of light was coming into the room. It kind of looked like a grandma's house type of room where it had old style bed sheets, old style wallpaper. It was sort of an outdated room to me. And I didn't really go in there because I'll be honest, it kind of looks creepy when we first went in there. So that room was right next to my room, because my room was on the left of it. So later that same night, I was laying in my bed, and I go to sleep just fine. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, somewhere around there. And I'm like, what woke me up? Why am I awake? And I look at my phone, says it was 3:15 or whatever the heck it said. And then I hear bang, loud as clear as day. I hear bang again. And I'm like, okay, that's coming from right next door. And I've seen enough horror movies to know I ain't going to investigate that. I'm going right back to bed, thank you. So I did. I went right back to bed. And later, in that same morning, I go upstairs to my grandparents. I'm like, yeah, so I want you to know I heard that sound last night, and it sounded like it came from to my left, which would have been that creepy old room. And my grandpa's like, oh yeah, we thought we heard it too, but we weren't sure. So that tells me, yeah, it's loud as day when I'm on the second floor. It's harder to hear on the third floor, which means it's obviously coming from the second floor. And so I think in the afternoon I went down into the creepy old room and looked for stuff that had fallen. And I'm like, okay, nothing's fallen off the floor. Nothing seems out of place. And we're at this point, we were making jokes like, oh, I guess we're in a haunted house where there's a ghost around here. And I think this was two nights before we left the house. We kept on hearing, and we kind of just tried to ignore it because we weren't sure what was happening. And then the last sound we heard sounded like a big knock. It sounded like a massive knock on like a wooden door. And so I walked downstairs because I'm thinking, oh, someone's at the door. Maybe it's the cleaning people. Maybe it's people that are, it's with the house realtors or whatever. They want to check out the house and stuff. And so I go downstairs, and there's no one at the front door. Not a single soul, in fact. And I'm like, okay. I swear I just heard this, so I know it's got to be something. And I keep going, and I'm like, okay, no one's at the front door, so what could that have been? And while I'm down there, I hear it again. Again, clear as day knock. And it sounded like it came from behind me and to the right, which in that, the way that front door is positioned behind me and to the right was that room that was over next to me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. So I walked upstairs and we just hung out again. And to this day, we have no clue what was going on. We tried to make ourselves believe that maybe it was like a heating system that was happening or something. We weren't sure what was going on. But I don't know if I believe it was a ghost or anything, because I really don't believe in ghosts. But it was very creepy. Like, every time I'd go downstairs to my room those nights, I'd have to walk past that creepy room. And I'd be like, I don't like the vibe that's coming from in there. I'm okay, thank you. And it was really creepy. Every time I heard that knocking, like the bang or knocking sound.
This is an emergency broadcast for all counties. Hundreds of people have randomly disappeared. You are currently at risk if you are over the age of 18. You listen to podcasts frequently. Or if you have walked outside in the last 48 hours. If you are at risk, it is recommended to lock your doors and windows, hide in a secured room, and do not go outside for any reason.
That was pretty creepy.
Yeah, about.
Interesting. I think it was a murder. I think the murder is the answer to all these mysterious.
Of course, you would think that.
Murder's the answer to everything. I think that's just kind of how it rolls.
Right. Why I didn't get paid? Murder.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know he gets it.
Exactly. So does anyone have any more? Or do we gotta turn to the Reddit ones or something?
I do actually have one more.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay, well, Noah can give his, and then we can go to that.
Right, it's another small one, but this happened literally a couple days ago, and I don't know how. So, this is like a couple days ago. I had just got home from the bar, and I'm talking to my mom about something, and off to my side is my little sister who's on the bed. And for a little context, my mom has these Harry Potter, like, candles that are held by a string. You can put them at different lengths and look like make it look like they're floating and whatnot. And I remember I'm talking to my mom. My little sister says something. I look to her, and I'm like, oh yeah, because this house would be haunted. And she brings up the very good point that this house was built in the early 18th century. So there's a possibility. Literally, as I'm saying there's a possibility, the only candle that she's under just starts moving back and forth. Not at like a fast speed, just a slow back and forth. She's not tall enough to touch it or move it at all. And I just have no idea how the hell that was moving by itself.
Yeah, that's a...
Same called a draft, you know? Maybe it could have been that.
Well, I was going to say that I've told a story similar to that where it was on the... I think this is in the spooky... The one from before. Where my cat was staring at the office chair in the office back in our old house. And it was spinning wildly. Spinning on its own. No draft is causing that. Like, spinning constantly, not slowing down. Like, that's something else. I don't know what that was to this day. I didn't want to investigate it. I said, nope, nope, nobody, nope to that, and I walked back out. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is definitely pretty spooky. So, there you go. Yeah, I was trying to think of maybe another small one, or like a small one when Noah was talking, but I couldn't think of one, so I think I'm out too. But I did just send John one for that he can read to us and be super scared. This is from someone else at this point. This isn't even from one of us. So,
right. You guys ready to hear this story?
I'm ready for a spooky story.
Terrify me, John.
Okay, no. Well, just look in the mirror if you want to be terrified. So, but here it goes. Jeff, a resident of Dayton, Ohio, was driving with his 3-year-old son, Miles, in the back seat when they passed by a modest cemetery decorated with only flowers and small plaque. It basically looks like a giant garden, Jeff explains on the podcast Monsters Among Us. According to Jeff, as they drove by, his toddler, who'd been happily singing, abruptly stopped, pointed at the cemetery, and exclaimed, "Look at all those people!" Jeff turned to look, but didn't see a soul. Confused, he asked Miles what he was talking about. "All those people over there," his son replied. "There sure are a lot of grandmas." As Jeff tells it, chills ran down his spine. So he asked his son what the people were doing. "They're all standing there, looking down at the grass," station. Jeff sped up and drove home. Later that day, he says his son was watching TV when he turned to Jeff and said, "You know, they weren't alive." Thinking Miles was referring to the cartoon, Jeff asked what he meant. "Those people we saw, they were all paws," his son replied. "I don't know if my kid has a sixth sense," Jeff says, "or if he just has a wild imagination."
Yeah, that's... So I'm giving this to John and Noah, but I haven't actually read them all. That's pretty terrifying. Yeah, you're a dad, and you're driving home or something, whatever you're doing, and you hear... you hear somebody like, "Oh, look at all those people," and you look to your left, you see nobody in sight. It's like, what do you mean? And he's like, "Oh, there's a lot of grandmas, they're kind of just standing there." And you're driving by a cemetery, I'd be like, no. Just keep going.
I would have done the same thing, just put the pedal to the metal.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I think the most unsettling is later that day where he's like, "You know, they weren't alive."
They weren't alive! Yeah, like, that's definitely a chill down your spine type of moment. Yeah, just so you know, they weren't alive. You know, they were the big dead. It's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, whatever you say, son, go to bed. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty spook, if you ask me. But, no, I have sent one to you, so whenever you're ready, go ahead and do that. By the way, the main character's name, I think, is Yau. It's Y-A-U.
Yau?
Yau, okay. I think. I could be saying that completely incorrect, but we're going to go with Yau and pretend it's correct.
All right, sounds good. All right. The Stanley Hotel in Esses Park, Colorado, has been around for more than 100 years and was built as a posh getaway for the wealthy seeking solitude in the mountains. As years passed, however, occupancy declined, and by the 1970s, the Grand Hotel had fallen into despair. It was around that time that famed author Stephen King spent the night there as well. And was inspired to write the book, The Shining. The book and blockbuster film helped to return the Stanley to its former glory. Now guests come in droves to see the hotel that inspired one of the scariest horror movies of all time. Given its history, it should come as no surprise that many visitors report strange happenings. Aware of the ghostly rumors, Texas resident Henry Yau booked a last-minute getaway in April of 2016 to check it out, quote-unquote. After arriving, you had dinner and then wandered around the Stanley's. Stopping at the staircase, he waited for people to clear the area, took a picture, thinking nothing of it. Later that night, however, Yao fell seriously ill. Felt really sick. I had shivers. I was like, something's really wrong. His companions suggested he go to the emergency room, but Yao refused. On the trip home, Yao began swiping through the photos he'd taken. When he discovered what he said was a really, really strange image of someone standing on the stairs. Except no one had been there. The next day, he posted the photo on Instagram, half-joking that he captured a ghost. And the world took notice. Almost overnight, Yao found himself in the limelight, with his ghost picture warranting attention from global media outlets and paranormal experts who wanted to examine the photo. Some experts say there's two ghosts, and other people said that the reason I got sick is because the ghost was trying to materialize, taking energy out of me, he said. So there's so many theories about this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the Shining Hotel notoriously has been kind of had a lot of stories with it, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that they're saying there's two ghosts, which wasn't there two ghosts in The Shining? So, like, the two girls or whatever they were.
Yeah, the movie.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the movie. Because that's what they filmed. That's what they're talking about. They filmed it in that hotel. So, yeah, I think it'd be interesting to go to that type of thing. Like, to go to not only where a previous movie was, because The Shining was one of the notorious movies back in the day. So to go to a place where that was filmed and to have it be like sort of a almost like a real life Shining haunted hotel, it'd be kind of interesting. I'm sure it's really expensive now because it's a previous movie set and all the stories and stuff. So I'm sure they get a lot of tourists and stuff. But I think it'd be kind of interesting to go there.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Just not me.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Except I won't go. I'm not going there.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm messing with the ghost.
I don't know. Maybe the ghost of Microsoft Pass will come after Noah, because you know that's notoriously what happens.
God damn it! A new Microsoft to somehow get ghosts.
But yeah, pretty spooky all around. But I have my story ready if you guys are wanting to hear it. This one terrifies me. I already know what the caption is: the haunted doll, and I don't like that. I hate dolls. So here we go.
I hate dolls too, damn it.
When Marty was a child back in the 90s, she tells Monsters Among Us, which is a podcast, go check them out, hashtag Creator Showcase, that she was a fan of the ventriloquist Edgar Bergen? I don't know who that is. And his dummy sidekick. She says that when her father came across a ventriloquist doll as he wandered through a small magic shop located outside of Santa Rosa, California, he decided to buy it for her birthday. While ringing up to the sale, Marty says the cashier gave her father weird vibes and said to him, "You know, when you put your hand inside the doll, it's going to come alive." Laughing off the comment, he brought the dummy back home to his daughter. According to Maddie, she was over the moon when her dad gave her the doll, saying, "I was so happy when I got the doll. I was so obsessed." But before long, strange things began happening. Though impossible because the doll's head was made of hard plastic, she says its expression would change, including its smile. Worried something would happen to her precious dummy, Marty's family shut it away in a cupboard most nights. One night, she and her family were awakened by the pitter-patter of steps in the living room. Thinking it was the doll or another family member, they went to look. No one was there, except for the doll, who was sitting on the couch. "We remember specifically we always put it away because I loved that doll so much that I took care of it," Marty says in the podcast. Another strange occurrences began happening. While Marty and her dad were away, her uncle was alone in the house. The uncle says he heard Marty's father calling his name from the living room, even though he wasn't home. When he went to look, he found the doll, once again sitting on the couch, and no one else. "All of our family was pretty much scared of the doll," Marty says. "People would start hearing their names being called, and we would hear walking at night, so we just decided we needed to get rid of it." Being Mexican and religious, Marty says her parents wanted to burn the doll in case it was demonic. They put it on the grill, and according to Marty, it wouldn't burn. This doll would not go up in flames at all whatsoever. They tried cutting it up with a knife, but they were unsuccessful. Finally, they threw it in the trash can. After the garbage was collected, Marty's dad went to retrieve the bin. In it, the doll remained. To rid themselves of the dummy, they dug a hole in the backyard, then filled it with cement. Marty and the family have long since moved away, but she still says they fear that the doll may one day find one of us. Ooh!
Probably.
No, thanks! Dude, when I was reading that, my eyes were watering because I've heard of this type of stuff before, not with the doll specifically, but where you hear someone call your name and you're home alone. Like, that is the most unnerving, terrifying scenario to me. Because, like, that's happened to me. Not nothing came of it. But, like, I've heard my name because there's a game, I think I mentioned this in the podcast at some point, there's a game where I play where one of the monsters, like, groans, sounds like my mom yelling my name. It's not, like this the way it sounds. I don't know if it's the frequency it's on or something. It just sounds very similar. And so I was playing and I heard that one time. But yeah, that's happened to me before where I was completely home alone. It was pitch black at night. And I heard my name being called downstairs, and I knew no one was home. That's when you know. When you know no one's home, that's absolutely terrifying. And The fact that they heard their names being called, and it was just the doll sitting there looking at them, no thanks. No thanks.
There's something, like, universally scary about dolls acting in a way they shouldn't. You know, there's, like, so many stories, like, real or not, of, like, dolls moving, like, I can name, like, at least three different movies that's just what it's about. So it's like, no thanks. Like, I don't know if I believe that all those stories where people are like, oh, this doll definitely moving on its own. But it's scary enough, you know, like, I kind of just don't want to believe it, because if...
You didn't lock your door. You didn't heed their words. I'm inside your house. Waiting. Do not keep me waiting. You know what happens if you do.
Like, what are we even doing here?
Right.
Yeah,
I will say, too, that in the story here, they talk about... There's a lot of... Because I've read The Fazbear Frights, there's a lot of parallels to those books in this. Obviously, I don't know what came out first. Not that it matters. I'm not going to say the whole plot, because if you want to read Fazbear Frights, I don't want to spoil it for you. But there is a lot of stories in The Fazbear Frights that kind of revolve around this, where it's something that's inanimate, that shouldn't be moving, but it is anyway. And in fact, one of the ones that you've probably seen a lot about is Fetch. Fetch is a story in one of the, in the second Fred Frights book. It's the cover of the book itself. It's about a dog that shouldn't be moving, but it is, and it's terrifying. So yeah, like John was talking about before, things that, specifically dolls too, because they're hideous, but things that are inanimate that shouldn't be moving, moving is terrifying. No thank you.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's quite kind of impressive that Pixar was able to make like a fun movie about that very topic and not be scary, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an awful scenario to me, being like being home alone and you hear your name being called. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. Have you heard of this two sentence horror story stuff before?
Yeah,
so that's it's exactly what it sounds like. It's horror stories, but they're two sentences. And it, like one, for example, that I can think of the top of my head that still kind of spooks me to this day is I forgot the character's name, but it's this. Let's call him Mike for the sake of the argument. Mike was laying in bed and he went to sleep that night, and then when he woke up, he found a picture of himself sleeping in his phone. He lives alone, and it's just like, oh, okay, great, yeah, that's fabulous. And there's other stuff like that, but one of the scariest ones to me is, again, I don't remember the character's name, let's call her Molly for the sake of the argument. Molly heard her mom calling her downstairs, and she goes out into the hall and investigates, or about to go downstairs, when her mom pulls her into the associating room and says, I heard it too. That is terrifying. Like, oh my, I'm getting chills just thinking about that. It's awful. So just hearing stuff like that, it's just, oh, no thank you. But,
Yeah, I would not appreciate that happening to me, for sure.
Well, now that we've said it, John, now it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, I'll message in the podcast channel, like, guys, I just heard my name and all my family's out. So
no, all you have to say is, guys, I heard it too. You'd have people be like, oh, shit. But yeah, that is definitely a no bueno moment for me. No thank you.
For sure, yes.
But I think we do one last round, because we're coming up on 52 minutes here, so we'll do one last round. So John, I've already sent you your next one, if you want to go ahead and read it for us.
Okay.
By the way,
this one that's been split.
It's yeah. I'm not paying for Discord naturally. They can screw up with all that. I'm not. Right. So it's the same story. It's just I had to separate it. By the way, for people that care, I'm gonna start reading the names of these because I haven't shown these guys. So the caption for this is the kidnapping ghost.
Oh, okay.
I love the kidnapping ghost for sure. Anyway. On Monsters Among Us, a caller named Joe tells of moving to Georgia from California in the late 1990s. Soon after, he says his brother followed him to the Peach State and rented out an old house built in the 1800s. It looked nice from the outside. It did not feel good from the inside, Joe says during the podcast. According to Joe, things seemed off from the moment he helped his brother move into his home. I walked into the house and went, oh man, the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I felt ill at ease, like the place isn't cool at all, he says. Moments later, while carrying items into the bedroom, Joe says he heard whispering, a heated whispering, almost like an argument, between two people that seemed to be hovering in the top of the ceiling area of the room, he adds. Joe ran out of the room and asked his brother if he'd felt something off about the house, too. His brother had picked up on the vibe, but assured Joe that things would be alright. As long as you're good, Joe says, he told his brother. I'm not good, but I can't freaking read it in a way that makes sense. I'm not good, but I'm going to help you. I'm going home, and I probably won't come back here. And sure enough, Joe's brother began experiencing unusual occurrences in his house. The most alarming, however, was when Joe says his young niece was found wandering alone on a busy road with her hand up in the air. Police and other agencies were called to investigate the incident, and when asked, his brother's 4-year-old explained that she'd gone for a stroll with the old lady that lives here. She still wanted to go for a walk, so he went for a walk. Given that the front door was too heavy for a 4-year-old to open by herself, no one could understand how she was able to leave the house. According to Joe, his niece said, "The old lady opened the door. Then we petted the dog for a little bit, then we went for a walk." She was so genuine and honest at 4 years old that he couldn't call her a liar, Joe says during the podcast. Soon after, his brother moved and never returned.
No thanks. No thanks.
Okay. I'm good.
No, I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty A-okay in my book. You know, there's something about that that's just like, no, I'm okay. No, I don't know.
Oh.
Same to the last one. You know, it's something you don't want to deal with. Just no.
Oh,
yeah.
The old lady did. What fucking old lady?
Yeah, no thanks.
Well, her lips there, obviously.
Yeah, I guess. But and these are real stories, by the way. Whether the people saw ghosts or whether they were imagining things doesn't matter. These are real stories from real people. So that's what's in, like, these aren't just made up stories for like the sake of making up stories and animating them or something. These are real stories. So that's what's terrifying to me, especially the doll one I read. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you on many, many levels with that one.
Yep. But Noah, do you want to? I just sent you yours. If you want to go ahead and read yours. The title of yours is, I believe, I just saw it, I believe it's the, crap, I'm trying to look for mine, so I was past it somewhere. Oh yeah, the title of yours is The Unexpected Passenger.
Oh, fun, I don't feel like this. Alright. In the 1990s, Julie, a resident of Portland, Oregon, was driving out to be to meet with friends when she found herself in traffic. The 18-year-old soon discovered that the cause of the slowdown was due to a dreadful car crash. And to her horror, as she passed the scene, she realized that someone had died. A moment later, there was a woman sitting in my passenger seat, Julie said. Ugh. Though she admits it sounds crazy, Julie reports seeing a woman dressed in work clothes seated next to her, and despite being in complete shock, the woman in the passenger seat was even more freaked out. She looked like somebody who had just suddenly ended up in somebody else's car, said Julie. Julie says of the incident. Panicked, the woman demanded to know how she got there, who Julie was. It was then that Julie noticed that the woman had an unearthly quality about her. I realized that whoever she'd passed on the side of the road was somehow in the car with her. "Ma'am, you need to calm down. My name is Julie. I'm here to help," she says, she told the stranger. We later went on to explain that she'd been in a car accident. So had somehow been end up in her car in the passenger seat. The woman was stricken. At the exact minute they passed a clearing tree, with some encouragement from Julie, the woman peacefully looked down and disappeared. In completely disbelief, Julie pulled over and convinced herself she imagined the whole thing. Several days later, however, a story came on the news about how a truck injured in a car accident. Before they finished, they threw a picture of the and explained that she had passed away in the accident. Julie said it was unbelievable. It was too much.
Yeah, so so for the people that, it got cut out a little bit, so when Noah was reading, the last line was, before they finished, they threw pictures up of the woman that was in my car and explained that she had passed away in the accident.
Nope.
That is terrifying, yeah. She was already dead and she was in the car with you. Yeah, no thanks. I'm okay. Nope.
I'm good.
Nope. Nobody, thanks. Nope. So
it's a hell no.
John, you have any thoughts on that one?
I'm just gonna say that, like, if I'm driving and someone just appears in my car, I'm like, nope, get out. You're not welcome here.
Well, I'm sure you guys have seen the stories where someone's driving on a deserted road and they're by the woods, especially, it's usually by the woods, and they see a woman standing on the corner, or they see it on the side of the road. And the question is, do you stop? And my answer is, why would you stop? There's a random woman that's in, and she's always depicted in some, like, she has hair over her face and she's in, dressed in a white dress. Like, no, I wouldn't stop. What am I, stupid? And then, but
yeah,
then,
like, even if they're not, like, some paranormal entity, why would anyone with good intent just be chilled out in the middle of nowhere, just by the woods, you know?
Someone did make a good argument against it, saying that, let's say, in the sake of the argument that it is a spirit, you might anger it by driving off. But at the same time, it's like, no, I don't think I want to stop. No thanks. Because I did hear a story, and this was a true story. They thought they may have been imagining it, and to this day, they still don't know what was going on. This isn't the story I'm reading, by the way. This is just one of the things I remember. This guy was driving a similar, same exact scenario I said. It was a deserted road. There was forest all around. It was forest for the next 5 miles or something. It was a huge forest. And it was at nighttime, and he drove by, he was driving pretty fast. It was like a 40-mile-per-hour road. And he saw something moving on the side of the road, and when he got closer, he realized it was a person. And he flew by them, because he didn't realize what it was until it was too late. And so he looked by him, halted the car, and kind of reversed, and the woman was still standing there. He rolled down his windows like, hey, are you okay? And, like, you need any help or whatever? Doesn't say a word. And he's like, oh, do you need a ride? And then still doesn't say anything, doesn't even move. He unlocks the back door so she can get in. She just gets in. She's not saying anything at this point. And he's like, okay, and then he just keeps going, like, everything's normal. And he's like, okay, where are you headed, ma'am, or whatever he says. And she's still not saying anything. And he's like, oh, maybe... He said in the story that maybe he thought she was deaf, or not deaf, mute and couldn't talk. And so he was like, okay, maybe she just can't communicate with me right now. And so he hands her the map that he had. And he said, okay, point to where you need to go. And she pointed to the middle of the ocean. And he's like, ma'am, I can't help you with that. Then she doesn't do anything for the next 20 minutes. And 20 minutes down the road, once he starts getting into more civilized areas, like where stores are and stuff, he looks in his back mirror to check for if there's any cars behind him, and he notices that the girl is completely gone. And she's not there anymore. And I'm like, that is ultimately terrifying, and no thank you in any scenario.
Yeah. Also, Matthew, why would you slow down and unlock your car door?
Yeah, I don't know. That guy had something. He had too much humanity in him or something. I just, like, I don't know. But the story that I found that I'm going to choose, there's a lot of good ones on what I'm looking at. But this one's terrifying to me because it's actually reminiscent of a story that it's called the gas station or something. This one's called The Ghost Truck Stop. On his way to get married, a military man and his best man set off on an 800-mile road trip from Camp Lejeune in North Carolina to Lafayette, Indiana. It was 1 a.m. on a cold January night in 2014, and the man tells Monsters Among Us that the weather has been bad and temperatures were in the negative double digits. Oh, that's great. As the pair closed in on Indianapolis, they discovered they had no money to pay for gas to refuel the car, and they were about to run out. Growing up in the trucking industry with my dad, I decided to stop at a truck stop, the man explained. But because the main interstates were shut down due to the weather, they had to get off the highway and search for a truck stop along the back road instead. We found a smaller truck stop. It had one truck, and it was just kind of strange. It was just a blacked-out truck with a blacked-out trailer. There was no real markings on it, nothing distinguishable, he says. They went in, hoping a clerk or waitress would spot them a few dollars for gas enough to make it to Indianapolis, at which time they'd go to the bank, take out cash, and pay for the loan. Inside, they found a tidy diner occupied by a waitress, cook, and a lone truck driver. I went inside, talked to a driver, and he bought me a cup of coffee. We sat there and talked for about 30 minutes about what we were going on and where we were headed. And he gave us $20 for gas. I went outside, pumped our gas, came back in, and I told him, hey, I really appreciate it. I'll be back. Making good on his word, the man got cash from the bank upon arrival in Indianapolis and returned to the diner. When we arrived at about 10 o'clock in the morning, it's boarded up, he says. It looked like it's been abandoned for years and the truck's gone, but we had just been there. They pulled in anyway and found a police officer parked in the lot. They explained what happened just hours before, to which the cop chuckled and replied, oh, you met the ghost of the three. So two military members conversed, had a cup of coffee interacted with the three at a diner that had a fuel pump. I got $20 worth of gas, says the man. When I came back, it's been boarded up for, if I remember correctly, the cop said, it had been boarded up for the last 25 years.
What?
Who? No. They even have a name for those ghosts. The Three. Not a very creative name, but it's no.
The fact there's a name for it says enough, though.
Yeah, it says that's been a widely regarded thing. I will say that is terrifying to me. Like it's late at night. These stories terrify me, dude. Where you're late at night, you're running out of gas because of course you didn't plan ahead, and you got to stop somewhere. And you the gas station what I mentioned is kind of similar to this, where they pull up to the gas station, and it looks fine. It looks like a normal gas station. There's only one person there, but they don't think much of it. And they go in, they pay for their gas, and inside the area where because they had to get a receipt, I think was the story. They paid for the gas at the pump, but they needed to go get a receipt from the clerk. And they go inside the area there, and it's all like busted. Like the shelves are torn over. There's no one at the stand, right? And they start hearing this woman crying. They hear this woman crying in like the sub level, because apparently they had a sub level. And so they go downstairs in these creaky stairs, and it's terrifying. I'm like, nope, this is a bad idea. And they see a woman crying in the corner of the room, and she cocks her head a whole 180. I'm not talking about 90 degrees, I ain't talking about 95. I'm talking a 180, inhumane way of doing it, or inhuman way of doing it. And they bolt out of there, like full-on bolt out of there. And they drive off, and this is in the desert, they drive off, hoping to get to wherever they needed to go. And it was just, then they pass it again, as if they're in a time loop. They keep passing it. They eventually get to civilization, though. They weren't sure what was going on. And they ask someone, hey, what's with the gas station on whatever road it was? And someone had said to them, what gas station? And that story ended. I'm like, oh, no thanks. What do you mean, what gas station? No. No. But yeah, this one's kind of similar to that. That's why I was like, yeah, that we'll end on that one, because that's terrifying. The fact that there's just a truck stop, and there was the waitress, and the guy gave him money. How is that possible? Like all this stuff is really terrifying to me.
I don't understand how he was given
money. Yeah, that's definitely interesting. But yeah, all right. Well, I think that's all the stories that we're going to do for today.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, those pissing his pants over from here.
I don't want to hear any more of this shit.
He's shivering in his timbers right now. Couldn't be me, he says.
Actually, if anything, I'm fucking sweating over here. It's hot.
Yeah.
You good?
Are you sure you're not sweating from existential dread?
Could be that one.
There might be a ghost in my house now.
Yeah, we've invited spirits in by just talking about them. Wait a minute, guys. Hold on, all right? The ghost's name was the Ghost of the Three. There's three of us in this podcast right now.
Oh, no.
Oh, we figured it out. We've the lore of the podcast.
Dead the whole time.
We've been dead the whole time, guys. But I'm basically William Afton. I always come back, so that's why I'm here still. John is like an anomaly in general, like his bald head. So his bald head is actively keeping him alive right now. And Noah's Noah.
No further explanation
here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
But do you guys want to hear the points and see who won?
Well, I'm pretty sure I lost, but sure.
Okay. So who wants to hear first, though? Question.
I think Noah's pretty eager over there. I think he wants to hear his point.
Yeah, Noah is like, oh, man, I'm gonna... It's a bit of psychology, really. He really thinks he's gonna win, but like he's trying to make it seem like he's not.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Baldy.
Okay, well, you know what? You just get one.
Baldy! Oh, hi. I'm Baldy. Here's a shiny quarter.
Noah has, after that 1 point negation, 14 points.
I mean, that's pretty good for a John episode. That's pretty good.
Yeah, for Noah, on a me episode, that's a pretty good score. Ethan, however, has 19 points. So that 1 minus point didn't really affect anything.
All right, well, there you have it.
So, Do you want to do a winner's speech, Ethan?
Yeah, my winner's speech is that as we approach the spooky, we're already in the spooky month, but as we approach the spookier day, be safe, as always, if you're going trick-or-treating. Usually it's for kids, and we were predominantly adult-based audience, but in case you're, well, especially with your kids, let's say you're an adult and you have kids, make sure to keep them safe and watch out for them, because there's always unlikely events that can take place. You're in the dark, it's like they could go missing, you don't want that, so keep an eye on your children, please, make sure they're safe when they're crossing roads and stuff, and all that sort of jazz. But in terms of the episode itself, these stories, especially the ones we read from from these people that have talked about them, terrifying. My least favorite was my least favorite slash favorite, depending on how you look at it, was the doll one. The doll one was terrifying. I never want to see a doll in my life. So no thanks. If that thing were to happen to me, I'd probably burn the house down and move to Canada. That's probably just how it would have to go. And the fact that they ended with the story being like, we still live in fear of the thing of if finding one of us, it's like, no thanks. I'd never want to live in fear of like a random doll trying to come at me. No thanks.
Didn't they also say that they like buried it in concrete?
Yeah, they tried to bury it in concrete. That didn't work. I don't know how that doesn't work. And then they tried to throw it away. Their last attempt was to throw it in the bin, and the people that did the trash didn't take it or something. Even they didn't want it. So it's like, no, I'm okay. Yeah, these stories are really interesting. And like I said, the way these episodes work is editing Ethan, who's locked in the dungeon, so he has no other choice, will do a lot of fun stuff for this. So you're probably hearing campfire sounds, because we like to make it like seem like we're all around a campfire doing these. I have a special intro prepared for this episode that I'm going to do off air. So yeah, I hope you liked it. I hope you liked the theme of the episode. I hope you liked the atmosphere of the episode, because we're, like I said, I want to make it seem like we're sitting around telling spooky stories near a campfire at night and stuff. So lots of cool stuff. So I just hope you enjoyed it at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good winner's speech. Noah, do you have a loser's speech?
Yeah, this was fun to come back to. I would prefer if we talked about something else, because now I'm just not going to sleep tonight. But,
good.
Good, yeah. He says.
Pretty good. Pretty good episode. Had some fun. And yeah, I think I know where I'll be for Halloween. Probably in the water.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'd be caught up in the fetal position or something after hearing all these stories. Like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, no, that would have been better to end that on.
Yeah. Speaking to end things on, I want to put this in before John does his outro, because I don't want to put this in the middle of the outro. I mentioned this in the pre-episode, and I didn't explicitly say when. I think I may have did, and I probably lied about it, saying that it was going to happen at a certain time. But in the pre-episode, I mentioned that if you're on any sort of social platform, whether you're on the Provoker's website, whether you're over on even on John's Twitch channel, especially if you're on the Provoker's official Instagram account, you've been seeing little seeds pop up here and there about a certain thing coming. And I recommend you go over, if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, I recommend you go to either, the best place to find it statically is probably either John's Twitch or the the website or the Provoker's Instagram. John's Twitch, I think from what I've heard from John, is it happens at random intervals, so it's not exactly like it's consistent. So if you want to see it, you can go. You might see it over there, but if you want to see it like right, yeah, they watch all the stream. If you want to see it right the second, though, go over to the Provoker's website, which is always linked at our page, or also the Instagram account, the Provoker's official. That's where you can see them statically. So, yeah, you've been seeing these little seeds pop up in here. And November 1st is next week's episode. I know, it's crazy to think that we're this close to November already. But November 1st is next week's episode. So you will be sort of getting it revealed to you what that is. And we're going to play a little game with John and Noah. So next episode, whatever the topic may be, we'll explain that later. But you'll be getting sort of like what you're going to be hearing about what the thing is. It's Project Blue is the code name for it. There's actually like on the picture, there's an actual name for it, but Project Blue is the name for it in order to not spoil it for people. So Project Blue, you'll be getting told what that is. And then in addition to that, John and Noah are going to be playing a game with me, essentially. And there's going to be secret little things that they got to figure out. And if they do figure them out, them as well as you guys get a sneak early preview of what's to come. So next episode is going to be a lot of fun. So I hope stick around for next week's episode because it's going to be a banger. There's going to be a lot of special things happening in that episode. So I recommend you go listen to it if it's out right now. Or if you're listening to this when it's not out, please stay tuned for next week because it's going to be pretty dang awesome.
All right. Well, you heard the man. Do the things, and you can see what's going to have in store, basically. And if you listen to this in the future, you might even already know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyway, we thank you guys for listening. We hope we provoked a conversation that made you laugh along the way. As always, you can find myself over on Twitch at DemonsFeebins. Buzz on YouTube at Demon Stevens. I am gonna be posting some new videos soon-ish. I have some that are like almost ready to go, but I like to do them in batches, so it's not just like here's one and then like 8 months later there's another one. But the next batch is almost ready, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. So look forward to that, and you can find Ethan over at Flab Sexy Gaming on YouTube. He does Variety, right?
Yep.
And you can find NoahDog54 on Xbox and at his Instagram, which I think is NoahDog5484, is that
correct? 34. You've said 84 like three different times. It's not true.
Well, maybe one of these days it'll magically change to be true.
No, just because you say it, does that mean it's true?
Well, you'll see. Fine. You can find him at NoahDog5434. One of these days I'll win. And you can also check out the Patreon, where we have a number of different tiers where you can get different stuff, the different price ranges, and they range from $1 to $100. You know, obviously the higher tier you buy, the more rewards you get, and when you become a member of the Patreon, you get access to an exclusive Patreon-only Discord. So you can hang out with us, we can talk about the podcast, individual projects we're working on, and whatnot. And as well on the Patreon, we have like the story area. There's extended cut episodes, which are just like 30-minute segments of like mini episodes, if you will. And the first five is $3, so you can kind of see if that's something you're interested in. And then everything else after that is $5 each. So, with all that out of the way, we'll see you guys.
Fear would be the one is it. Fiesta Zilly Mathroy. Fiesta Roy.